chapter 12 tonight, Mark chapter 12. Brother Apple, I'm going to use this lapel just in case. Mark chapter 12. I want to talk tonight and next week. I have 2 weeks, so I kind of made it a two-week thing. I want to talk about the most important commandment that God ever gave us. The most important commandment God has ever given. And there's a lot of them in the Bible. What's the most important one? The most important command God ever gave us. It's actually found in the Gospels, and I've chosen to use this passage in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 12, and you know the verses, and I'm going to read them. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, it says this. And this is Jesus speaking, by the way. Jesus said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Verse 31. "And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." What is the most important command that God ever gave us? It's not soul winning. It's not church attendance. It's not tithing. It's not modesty. It's not any of those things. The most important commandment that God ever gave us is love God and love others. Love God and love others. Matthew chapter 22 is kind of a parallel passage to this. And it says in verse 37, same thought, same story. Jesus said unto him in verse 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And he says this, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The truth is, folks, those other things I mentioned, soul winning and attending church and modesty and tithing and on and on we could go with commandments found in the Word of God, all those other things fall into place when we obey the greatest commandment, love God and love others. Because the truth is, if we truly love other people, you know what we'll do? We'll tell them about Jesus Christ. If we truly love God, then we won't rob Him and we'll tithe. You see where I'm getting at? The greatest commandment that God ever said, and that's not just my opinion, that's what the Word of God says. Jesus, the Son of God, who is God, Himself said, "This is the greatest commandment. Everything else hangs upon these two. Love God and love others." Love God and love others. So simple, yet so profound. So easy to follow, yet so often we don't. There was a lot of commands growing up that I didn't really want to follow that my parents gave me. A lot of rules. Be nice to your sister. Who wants to do that, really? I mean, if you have a sister, you know what I'm talking about. Be nice to your sister. Share with your brother. I don't want to share. A lot of commands that we don't want to follow. But when you talk about loving God as a command, that seems so easy to follow. It's how could we not be in love with the Savior? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving thy neighbor as thyself. I want to focus this week, because I get to preach next Wednesday as well. Tonight I'm going to focus on loving God, and next Wednesday I want to talk about loving thy neighbor. But tonight, we're talking about loving God. We'll talk about loving God. It's one of those commandments, and it's one of those messages, and it's one of those thoughts that we've heard so much about. Even in my 28 years of life, which is not that much compared to some in the room, listen, I've heard that preached on so many times. I've thought about that in my life and been convicted about that thought so many times in my life since I've been a Christian. So I know you've heard it many times, especially if you've grown up in church. But it's a commandment that is so easy to follow, but we so often fail. We so often truly fail at loving God. Because you know why? Because Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." If ye love me, keep my commandments. And so often we don't do the very thing that shows our love for God. You know, God showed His love for us by action. He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. We know the verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." God is love. 1 John 4:7-8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So often we fail at loving God. We fail at keeping his commandments and showing our love for him. And so often we pick ourselves up and we dust ourselves off and we try harder. I know I've been there. It's a daily battle. But we're commanded to love God. You know, God loved us first. We know the verse. We love him because he first loved us. God is love. He loved us when we didn't love him. He's loved us when we don't deserve his love, when we don't deserve his love, but he loved us through it all. You know, Jesus Christ was mocked, and he was beaten, and his beard was ripped from his face, and people made fun of him, and they hung him on a cross. And the same Roman soldier who took the hammer and nailed him to that cross, Jesus loved him. Even the ones that Jesus knew wouldn't believe him, wouldn't listen to him, wouldn't accept him, Jesus loved them. Even Peter, who denied him thrice and who said he wouldn't, and Judas, who betrayed him, Jesus loved them. He loved us when we failed him. He's loved us through our wicked, sin-filled life. It's amazing. Salvation is not about what we do. It's not about our actions. It's about what Jesus has already done for us. Thank God for it. Because none of us would get heaven if it was the other way. But God loves us. And he said, "Love me. Love me." He deserves our love. Think about this question tonight in your own heart. And I always struggle preaching about a thought like this, because I know how much I struggle with it personally. But I guess the best messages are the ones that are most helpful to you. How is your love tonight for God? How is your love? I'm not talking about how many chapters you read in the Bible this week. I'm not talking about how many tracts you passed out. And those are important things. But I hope you realize that the Christian life is not just a checklist of good things that we get to do. It's so much more than that. And so often in churches and in Christians' lives, we make the Christian life all about a checklist. And if I do this, and if I do that, and if I wear this, and if I listen to that, then I'm a great Christian. And folks, I'm sorry, that's not the way it is. That's not the truth. Our love for God, it all stems from right here. That's what, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. First thing he said. Listen, I can pass out a tract with a bad attitude. Hey, I can put my tithe in the offering plate kind of a little hesitantly. My motives are not pure. My heart is not right. My love for God is fragile. It's conditional almost. God, help us. We're commanded to love God. How is your love tonight? Truthfully, ask yourself. You know, one of the biggest problems in a Christian's life is not being honest with ourselves. We don't like to be honest with ourselves, because when we're truly honest with ourselves, we realize how much work we have to do on our own lives. No matter how long we've been saved, we have to be honest with ourselves. If you've been saved for 50 years or for 50 days, tonight, ask yourself that question in your heart. How is my love for God? How strong is my love for the creator of the universe, for the savior of my soul? How is my love tonight? And be honest with yourself as we go through a few thoughts tonight. And again, we will be brief because we only have about 15 minutes before service is over. But be honest in this short message tonight. Be honest with yourself in that question. How is your love? How is your love for God tonight? What do we need to do? Listen, this is the most important command we're talking about. This is an important thought. Think about it. How can we get our love life for the Lord back in order? How can we do that? First thing we need to know is that we need to always remember that God loves us. Even when we struggle with our love for him, he never ceases to love us. Thank God. Even when our love life for him, even when our heart towards him is messed up and broken, and our actions do not show our love for him, even when we mess up like we often do, He still loves us the same as he always has, more than anybody else ever has. God loves us. He loves us. And we should love him. Love requires action on our part. It requires actions. I love my wife. But if I told my wife that I love her and then never spent time with her, never did anything with her, never got to know her, never strengthened my relationship with her, that would be kind of a weak love. Probably wouldn't even be love. Listen, I love my wife, so you know what? I want to do things for her. I don't say, well, I have to do. No, I want to buy my wife flowers. I love doing that. I don't do it out of habit or just, I do it because I love her. I'm strengthening my relationship with my wife. Listen, I the more I think about how awesome my wife is, she's a great cook, she's a great mother, she's a great youth pastor's wife, she's a great helpmeet, she's incredible, she's the best. And the more I think about all that she does for me, the more I say, man, I really do love my wife. I love her. It's the same with the Lord. You stop and think about all that God has done for you. You stop and think about not just the cross, but even in our everyday life, the safety that he gives us, the family that he gives you, the job that he's given you, the provisions that he gives you, all that God does for us, you can't help but love him. We need to remember that God loves us and we're commanded to love him. Actions speak louder than words. Any one of us can take time and pray and say, Lord, I love you. We probably do, Lord, before we finish our prayers. Lord, I love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. But our words can be so shallow sometimes. When we finish our prayer, we go off and do something that we know we shouldn't do. Or we treat someone a way we shouldn't treat. I don't think that the people in this room tonight, I could be wrong, struggle with listening to rock music, like I talk to the teens about sometimes, listening to the wrong kind of music. I don't have a doubt that the people in this room tonight, many of you are deacons in our church and members for many years, you probably don't struggle with having the wrong kind of friends, and maybe you do. But although you may not struggle with those things, the folks in this room, you may struggle more with patience with people or with love for the brethren or maybe bitterness towards someone. Maybe some of you have children that are away from the Lord and it bothers you and you have some resentment in your heart saying, man, I raised them this way and now they're doing this and we have a bad spirit. And those are things that if you truly love God, and it's not the message this week, but you truly love others, God will help you with that spirit. And a change must be made. Actions speak louder than words. When we love God, truly, we're willing to say, hey, God, what do I need to change? What do I need to fix? How do I need to act? And then we do it. That's having true love for God. Loving him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Actions speak louder than words. Why is it so important to do that? Why is it so important to remind ourselves of these thoughts? Because it's the most important commandment. Why wouldn't we want to follow the best we can the greatest commandment that God gave us? Listen, I want to follow all the commandments that God gives me. I want to do what God wants me to do, bar none, everything. But especially, I want to follow the commandment that Jesus himself said, hey, of all the commandments that I've given, of all the commandments in the law and prophets, this one's the biggest. Hey, this one's the big. This one's the most important. The Word of God is full. It's the guidebook for life. Amen. It is. What Jesus himself says. Hey, this is the big one. That's the one that I want to focus on. Number one. That's why it's important to know these things. That we must love God. It's so easy to forget how much God loves us. Because many of you lived the Christian life for many years. I lived the Christian life since I was just a boy. For me, since I probably can remember well, about 20 years. I was about seven, 8 years old. But it's easy to forget how much God loves us. Many of you have read your Bible through many times. You've lost count. You've been attending church. Sundays haven't been your day in decades. Visitation is just second nature to you. Tithing is second nature to you. And because everything becomes so habitual in our lives, and listen, it's good to have good Christian habits. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the Christian life should not just be about going through the flow and doing what we've always done because we've always, it should be fresh and it should be exciting because it's love. When a marriage starts to get stale, it's when the love starts to get stale. why many marriages end in divorce, because the love got stale. And one of the spouses began to look for love elsewhere and excitement elsewhere. Your Christian life, your love with the Lord should never get stale. It needs to be fresh. It needs to be exciting. It needs to be fervent. Because you know what? His love for us never got stale. Never has got stale. It's important to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul. So what can we do? How can we strengthen our love life with the Lord? Christian, tonight, strive to love God more. You know what striving entails? Effort and strength. Love the Lord again with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love takes effort. Love takes work. Love takes a sacrifice. Strive to love God in a more real way. Make it real. Ask God to help you make it real. Some of you, our prayer should not be, Lord, help me to love you more, but Lord, help me to help that love to be exciting again. Lord, help my Bible reading not to just become a habit and just become just a habit that I have, but help it to become exciting. Help my prayer life to become exciting again and fresh. Listen, there are times of, I remember a message preached when I was in college about the zone of silence, and sometimes in the Christian life, it's hard to hear the voice of God. Usually it comes when there's tragedy or difficulty. I think of Pastor Tharp when he talks about when Eric died. And again, we didn't pray for it tonight, but pray for the Tharp family. Yesterday was the 14th anniversary of Eric Tharp's death in 2003. We'll be praying for the Tharp family. But Pastor Tharp talks about how in those first few months after Eric died, how he felt like he was just black inside. He said he would open the Word of God and he just couldn't get anything. He struggled so much. And there are times like that. I'm not saying that, but may we strive more than ever, whether we're 28 years old or 68 or 38 or 48, whatever stage in the Christian life that we're at, may we strive to love God in a more real way. In a more real way. Tell Him you love Him. Show Him you love Him. Spend time with Him. Listen, I know I said that it's not about just a checklist, and it's not. It's not. But when you do spend time with God, make it exciting. Make it real. Think about the fact, it's a fact, by the way, that you get to hold the living Word of God in your hand. That He preserved for you and for me. The precious Word of God that down through the ages has changed lives, changed your life. Think about that as you spend time with Him, as you pray. Think about how you get to approach the throne of grace. Think about how Jesus goes to God on your behalf. He's the mediator. Think about that fact. That's a fact, folks. Think about how much He loves us. Your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Why is it so important to do these things? Folks, I'm done, and we'll pray and be dismissed in a few minutes. No matter what we've been through in life, and I mean, I love our church. Brother Horsch, I love our church. We have a great church. We have such a dynamic church. You know, somebody pray, we have senior saints, praise the Lord, wisdom, and man, they've been down the road that many of us are going down, and thank God for that. We have middle age and young people and a great youth group and a great kids program, and just all across the board. Don't we have a great church? Amen? Great church, great pastor. Thank God for it. But I look around the room, and I know that in the 6 years that I've been here, that many of you have faced tragedy and difficulty and heartache over the years. I know that. I know some of you live very stressful lives sometimes, the things that we face on an everyday basis. Some of you are looking for a job, lost loved ones, friends with cancer, many things. Your daughter-in-law is expecting another baby. So many things in life that can weigh us down, that can take our focus. But we have got, as a church, and as individuals most of all, we have got to get back to loving God in a real way. Come on in, teens. Come on and find a seat real quick. I'm closing it up. I want you to hear this. We have got, as young people, as middle-aged people, as people in our, I guess they call them the golden years still, the golden years, in that retirement age. Hey, we have got to get back to loving God in a real way. He has done so much for us. I don't want to live my Christian life in guilt. I don't want to do that. We do that very often. We live a life of, well, you know, I'm just so bad. And listen, we all know. We know that if we got what we deserve, we'd all have hell. We know that. But Jesus, you know that guilt is of the devil? Shame is of the devil? That's the devil's work. He wants you to feel miserable and worthless. Jesus loves you. God loves you. The love of Christ, the Bible says, constraineth. Isn't that great? Brother Jeff, I always ask, how you doing? He says, better than I deserve. Amen. All of us. Brother Jeff, isn't it amazing how much God loves us? Think about it for just a minute, folks. On this basic Wednesday night prayer meeting, which is how we can see it, just a hour-long service, we're going to be done in 2 minutes, have an invitation hymn, pray together, and go off into the rest of our week. But may it be, maybe on November 29th, 2017, that you, whoever you are that's listening right now, some of you may not be listening, that's okay, those who are listening, you said, you know what, tonight, I'm going to start loving God in a more real way. Listen, not because it'll make me feel better, because it's the greatest commandment that God ever gave us. And again, that's not my words. That's the words of the Son of God, who is God, who said, hey, love me and love others. Everything else hangs on that. This is the greatest commandment. Love God in a more real way, Christian. I tell you, I promise you, you'll never have the peace-filled, joy-filled Christian life that God wants you to have until you start loving Him in a more real way, and you get away from the checklist, and you get away from the habits, and you get away from trying to please men and please others, and you worry only about loving God and loving others. That is what it's all about. Teenager, I'm telling you, you'll never live the Christian life that God wants you to live until you fall in love with the Lord right now. It starts now. It doesn't start when you're 25. It doesn't start when you're 19. It starts now saying, hey, I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what it's about, teenager. You need to start now. We just had a whole message, a whole series on God's will. You'll never find God's will if you don't love Him in a real way. And I'm telling you, you don't prove your love just by showing up to church and just by marking off your checklist. Listen, it's so much more than that. It starts in your heart. It starts in your heart. Some of you are mad at God. Some of you are, and listen, you wouldn't say those words, but if you look deep inside enough, if you look deep enough and prayed hard enough, you'd realize that there's some resentment in your heart toward a holy God because of things that have happened to you or your family or in your life. Oh, folks, may we love God in a more real way. May we love God in a more real way. Just think of what God can do with your life if you've just fell in love with Him all over again. Go back to that day you were saved. That moment that you accepted Him. Think about that. Think about what salvation literally is. It's love. It's the greatest definition of love. It's He gave His life for those who would never even accept Him. He God sent his son, his only begotten son, for people knowing that they were going to mock him and ridicule him and beat him and all these things. Why? Because of love. And Jesus went to the cross willingly because of love. And how much do we love him? How much do we love him? Loomis Park Baptist Church, we need to start loving God in a more real way. It's the greatest commandment that God has ever given us. It's the greatest commandment God's ever given us. May we love God in a more real way. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. Stand to your feet. We won't be any singing tonight. We'll have a brief invitation. If the Lord spoke in your heart tonight, please come down right now. Don't wait another moment. The piano's going to begin to play in just a minute, but you don't need to wait for the piano. Some are coming already. Say, I need to love God in a more real way. Why don't you come?